So Pete, how's your shorthand?
We're good, thank you.
Okay, before the roll call, I'll be swearing in Rebecca Herbert, the Belmar Board Representative to the Manasquan Board of Education. Rebecca, I gave you a form to follow along, it's a little wordy, so if you want to pick that up. And this is the oath of office for the Board of Education. If you can raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Rebecca Herbert.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I state your name.
I, Rebecca Herbert.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
Am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19-4-1. Am not disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A-12-1.
Am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19-4-1. Am not disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A-12-1.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Thanks, Rebecca. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Mr. Ray, if you could just sign that and leave that there for the end of the meeting, I'll pick it up. Thank you.
I'll do roll call.
Please.
Mr. Boldeman? Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mrs. Herbert?
Here.
Mr. Hoveter? Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Lofredo? Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
Julia McGarry? Lily Burke? Joy Nolan. We have a quorum.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting? Mr. Catani?
Mrs. Bassone? Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Abstain.
Mr. Johnson? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Abstain.
Carried.
So we have no student board representative report, so we'll move to the presentation.
Awesome. Can we go to the podium?
Thank you.
again, putting students first in all decisions that you make, and representing that frame of mind by focusing on our students and teachers of the month. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan High School Senior Student of the Month, Jessica Haggerman. What made you interested in that sport? You don't mind if I just segue here for me?
Well, Mrs. Kamara, the dance teacher, right, yeah, was talking to me about like how they wanted more dancers, right, in groups. And I was like, not sure if I was going to do it at first, and then I ended up auditioning just to be a dancer.
Uh-huh.
And then I like totally got surprised. And I got like a real
I can't wait to see that in Washington.
Thanks.
You're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun already.
Cool. Thank you. In school, Jessica is president of a dance club and Italian club. She's playing cha-cha in Greece and dancing the first spring and holiday dance shows at Manasquan High School. She's a member of the Key Club and is graduating from the Academy of Finance and the Academy of Performing Arts. Outside of school, Jessica is a member of the Spring Lake School of Dance. She performed as Dewdrop Fairy in New Year's Nutcracker production. She's a secretary for the Dancers. That's cool. An organization in the Elf Squad. Jessica is currently accepted to University of Georgia, Penn State, Elon, and the University of South Carolina. She's planning on studying economics with minors in dance and international relations. She also plans to study abroad in Italy. Her favorite subjects, economics, and her favorite teacher is Proc. Congratulations. Great job. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan High School Junior Student of the Month, Thomas Watson. Thomas? National Club, Swanathon, History Club, and National Honor Society. Outside of school, Thomas is a guard for the Manasquan Panthers. Thomas' favorite subject is Greek calculus, and his favorite teacher is Mr. Chang. And he's going to share that. What makes Mr. Chang so interesting to you? He's not here, so you can say really.
I would say the environment that he brings to the classroom. He's a very positive guy.
I think we need enough. Mr. Goodall was so highly about, he's here someplace, and ran over to my office and said, Dr. Cajun, you have to see this new young teacher. Mm-hmm. And he is who he thought he was. Thank you very much. Thomas. The Manasquan Board of Education would congratulate Manasquan High School sophomore student of the month, Hannah Snyder. Hannah? The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan High School freshman student of the month, Elizabeth Barton. Elizabeth? Thank you. Congratulations. In school, Elizabeth is a member of the Winter Cheer Team. Outside of school, she's a member of the Manasquan River Marlin Tuna Club. like to fish?
A little bit.
I was going to say, we have a real nice fishing club here that Mr. Frieda does. He does a great job. So you might want to look into that.
I will.
Elizabeth's favorite subject is English 1 honors, and her favorite teacher is Mrs. Bassman. But Mrs. Bassman doesn't teach English 1 honors.
No, she teaches
math. So that's a funny dichotomy. You like math too, then?
Yes, a little bit.
Elizabeth. In recent years, researchers have discovered something that may seem obvious, but for many reasons was overlooked or denied. What really makes a difference is what matters more, the class size or the textbook, the teaching method or the technology, or even the curriculum, is the quality of the teaching. Congratulating the person who brought Italian to our school district, Manasquan High School Teacher of the Month, Rosa Russo. And Rosa was selected by Jessica Hagman. Rosa, I would like to say congratulations to Italian, but I can't.
Grazie.
Rosa Russo. Manasquan Board of Education, Manasquan Elementary School Team of the Month, Alejandro Martinez, Teacher of the Month, in school, Alejandro is a member of the Belmar Wrestling Team. Outside of school, he enjoys hanging out with friends and doing MMA. Alejandro's favorite subject is social studies. His favorite teacher is Mrs. Butz. Alejandro always would make sure everyone did well in her class, was always willing to help with homework. He was liked to play games in the class, which made learning fun. Alejandro. Each day, there is a practical job that is critically important. Complex, often joyful, and at times heartbreaking. In essence, teachers help others become their best selves, and I can think of no better teachers in doing their work. With that, that is one for the education. That they did up in the business office. I want to get right to it.
Okay. Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me. First and foremost, the results of the audit were excellent. We were here in August and did what we could. Our hands were a bit tied this year due to circumstances with a lot of things, but we're working towards that end and getting everything completed. We're still awaiting some information from New Jersey. We're told we'll have it by the end of January, so we're hopeful. But as I said, the results are excellent. And I think it's important that everyone understands that the audit's a process, and not only the work that our firm does, but it's a joint effort with the administration, Dr. Farley, Dr. Kagan, and the administration and the staff. Without their cooperation and help, it would be a much more difficult job for us, for our firm. So we appreciate their help and their dedication to producing an excellent set of financial records and keeping the district financially healthy. Other than that, we've said everything went well. If you want to look at your financial position, it's on page 13 of 13 on Exhibit C1 in your handout. Our fund balance that we're allowed to maintain at the end of this year is $137,412. That's up from previous years because we're now allowed to maintain 4% surplus, as opposed to 2%. We'll be allowed to keep the 4% next year as well. Beyond that, if they extend the law, we'll be able to keep that. If not, we might go back to the 2%. But right now, it looks like we'll be allowed to. We also have various reserves set aside to help offset taxation down the road for things we don't want to do, such as maintenance or capital items. So that's good conservative financing on the board's part. And so I said, we're moving forward. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone has about the statements or the audit in general.
One of the things I would like to say, you have been the auditor here for 8 years I've been here. And you do a seamless job with it. I never once can ever remember being inconvenienced in my office. I don't know if you have, but you do it specifically, expeditiously, and with fidelity. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you. We appreciate everyone's cooperation, except, but as I said, it's a joint effort for everything to go well, and everybody plays a role.
Are there any questions from the board?
I'll just think about Dr. Kagan. A big thank you to Bob and Rich and his team, like Dr. Kagan said. The job was made much more difficult with COVID. They can't come sit in our office as much as they'd like to and kind of phone through, but through wonders of technology, I think we were able to get a pretty comprehensive look at our position. I would also like to thank Kim, Cindy, Terry, and Sandy, who you guys get to see. Truly unsung heroes of the district. They're responsible for everything that Bob just relate to you guys and do a fabulous job on the team and the business office. So big thank you for that.
Thank you. So we should actually treat them to pastries tomorrow.
Sugar Brielle?
Yes, I think I'll stop on the way to work. Awesome. Bob, thank you.
Thank you so much. Everyone have a great night.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Now presenting for Rob Notley is Joel McDermott, focusing on our field house.
Hello. Good evening, everybody. Hi. I'm filling in for Rob Notley this evening. So anyone who doesn't know, I'm actually the in-field construction manager that the district is using for the multi-purpose facility. Since the last update, so the last one was back in November, so this will give you kind of, a lot's happened obviously in the last 2 months. So we have for new members of the board, the Manasquan High School Fieldhouse Office is coming directly with the Borough of Manasquan and the Manasquan School District. The design team is Karski Millman Architects. The Suburban Consulting Engineering is doing all the civil work for the project and obviously the foundation work. General contractor that we're working with is H&S Construction and Mechanical, and they're sub-performing the mechanical portion of the work and then subbing out the other trades. The field house is right now 31,140 square feet. It's a 3-year building. There are the record set or Lego set showed up in the boxes and steel beams for the other trade. It will include a 2,500 square foot weight room, 27,300 square foot turf area. It'll be under the large portion of the building. So approximately, like you see there, 120 to 120 feet. It'll include toilet facilities, and there's also storage and the custodial space designed in. And then There's retractable batting cages, one area boxed out. That's the the building exterior is standing seam metal. Corrugation, you don't see that yet. That hasn't. That's still forthcoming to get on site. The portion that's out near Atlantic Avenue, that'll be a breakfast. So it'll have a nice brick look to it. And then details of, to represent the logo of the school and that kind of thing will be included. Site work includes the stormwater drainage, improvements to the parking lot area. When we're done, this entire parking lot area will be stripped and repaved and relined with new curbing so that you get a nice clean appearance to the facility all the way back to the actual building, the 1962 gym. That parking lot will be repaved. Base contract value here was each in this construction at $4.4 million. Completion date is still in May of 2022. To substantially be complete and then do the punch list at that point. This is a rendering from your architect showing you roughly what the building will look like. It's done, it's kind of coming to shape now. You can kind of see it now that you see the steel going up and it's two levels. These were the overall building civil drawings. So you can see the parking lot being reworked, the software that turned into this field, just the structural makeup of it from above. So the project status of where we stand right now since the last 2 weeks, these have been updated to include, so the underground sanitary piping has been installed for both the bathrooms and the solar sink areas inside the building. And that's roughly inside the stone that is inside. The rock is complete from the service connection, so that's the domestic water, sprinkler water line, the electrical conduits. That's all been installed and run through the footings. And now we're just waiting on the installation actually with the utilities themselves out into Atlantic Avenue. New main electric service. We're coordinating that with PCP&L. They're always a tough cookie to see electric back here. So it's always having to push them to make sure that they have they include you on their agenda. So working with them, footings and foundations. Waterproofing installation of those walls around the entire perimeter has occurred. The subgrade stone, as you see, is going in. The final grade hasn't occurred, so there's still stone to go. It's going to get roughed up, obviously, with what they're doing now, steel work. So once that's done, I'll go back to final grade again for the turf and that. All the structural steel is now on site, as you can see, is going up. Direction of steel columns have begun to start in this southeast corner over here of the project. Now they're doing the purlin that support the horizontals that will hold up the panel walls and the panel roof. So they'll be doing that through the rest of this week, and then they'll pull off, and then you won't see them again until the actual paneling for the wall shows up. At this point, it's slated to show up right at the end of February, beginning of March. The contractors come back again, put that on over span of like a week, and put the roof on. So it'll go pretty quick at that point. The remaining materials for RSC stormwater detention system are now on site. It's always good to have these long lead items, especially with everything that we've been running into with long leads, where sometimes it takes 6 weeks to get a hold of, it's taking 14 to 16 weeks to get a hold of. So it's good that we have them on site. So over the next 4 weeks, before your next update, we should see the rest of the family still building frames, the spandrels. When the frames were here, large spandrels across the middle are done now. Installation of the exterior panel and horizontal firms that go around the structure to hold it up and roof goes. You see the stone grading inside get finished. We're also going to pour the slab, which would be where the lower portion of the roof area that will be the roof room. And where the resting area, the bathroom, that slab will get poured. They'll be underground. But they can't do that until these gentlemen are done with the steel so that no one's working on it for them. Once they're done, then that slab work will take place. And then one of our biggest issues that we've been wrestling with now for months was getting the approval to open Atlantic Avenue for the road opening permit, because it's a county road. So now you got to deal with the Monmouth County Board and stuff like local. Yeah, so it took us a while, but now we finally got acceptance after about 3 months of work. Now we can get the permit request put in and get it approved to open up the road. Because that requires, you're doing the traffic for a day or so to get in, because you have to put it back the same day you take it out. So now we have approval for that. So that was one of our, potential critical issues that we have to push to make sure happen. So I have some progress photos. That have occurred over the last 2 months. for anybody not familiar with it, a lot of these photos, in this, these four photos here are all from the north wall of the building, the last foundation before. Those large pipes that you see, there's an existing retention system under that soft wall, right, that was put in when this addition in 1995 ago. And it's still out. It still drains this roof, but you're talking about still drains into those pipes. So we have to build over that. So you can replace it underneath the ground down below. So they remain active. They still let water percolate in the ground. We have construct footings to bear over them and not put any weight on them. So that's what you see in the face here. And then the walls are there and all that. With that. And now you can see the piping that's finished for the bathroom, the underground, stone going in, the large grade beam, which is up in the right corner, the right picture, that is the main support structure on either side of the building that holds up the massive roof. So that's one end, the black and then the steel obviously was delivered and started to be erected. Everything you see on the left, two pictures, that was all the steel columns and steel structures that have now been installed. The picture in the top right corner, that's the actual standing steam room. So that's, it's here already. So that'll stay on site until the side panels are here in February, and then you'll see that. Photos throughout the entire project all the way through, so you can kind of document by date when things occurred, and if it ever comes up, you know, where a lot of times I'll try to take pictures from the same angles on a given day so that you could potentially make a timeline, almost like a time lapse of photos, so you can obviously detail photos of the same locations overall, so I try to do that all the time. So. All right, so you can see the horizontal piece going in, so, and then if you guys have any questions or comments or anything you need to know, I'm more than welcome to answer any of that.
There's no one on this project that knows more than Joe does about it. And he's demonstrated that to us at all the meetings that we have with the contractors. So we're in good hands. He can explain any piece of this building to you, and sometimes he explains it to the contractors at the table. And he's done that over the last 5 years that he's been here to help us build through our referendum projects. So Joe, I want to thank you for that. And is this the first time you did a presentation for us?
Okay.
So this is the second time.
For the
HVAC. Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome. One thing I would ask you, though, is we really need to get that transformer.
Yep.
So if she's not answering the phone and she's not answering emails, you got to make her a visit.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
I'm sorry, what was the last thing
you
said?
You have to make her a visit in her office.
Yeah, I can do that. Okay. I think at this correct time, the person that we're dealing with, which is the layout tech senior for JCP now, she was out, I think, last week with COVID. So now she's working at temp. Her last email back last week said that she was working temporary, back and forth from home and the office. So when you call her at either location, you don't get an answer, but we'll press the issue and you know, she'll be asked to work for somebody. So in the office, I'll go to the office and see whoever she works for. You know, she can't.
Yeah, because we need that. You know that.
Transfer was always a key part. On other projects, it can take anywhere from 3-4 months to get a transformer. Sometimes they'll take one from another project that's using the same size as you and give it to you first and then feed that person theirs. And a lot of times they'll do that with projects. So like the school project or municipality work, school transformers will go to private contracts and then have that person in the 2 or 3 week delay when they wait for a new transformer. So we can always press the issue.
Yeah, we're going to need that with the HVAC. Once the building's built, we want to turn it on. So, yep. And the electric on the inside. So,
yep.
Good.
Definitely
going to
press that.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Thank you.
That concludes our presentation for this evening. And now we're going to move, if we may, to our principals and our directors. From the Lower Elementary School, Ms. Jacqueline Palaio.
Main things that I'm going to be talking about today. We have our ongoing coordinated PD with Deanne Opatowski to discuss best practices. This is going to be our second round of sessions and with the surrounding districts we meet together and discuss math and ELA strategies and best practices and implementation and lots of great discussions occur in that and they take them back to our classroom and planning. Second, in our iReady, we have our second benchmark assessment coming up in January. We take a look at that diagnostic 2 data to look for trends and just learn more about the student performance in general with the Learning Map curriculum. We plan to do this again in the grade level common planning time, the VLC time, as well as our verbal articulations after school. And we want to make sure that we are examining that data to really maximize our instructional usage of the data for daily planning. The third element is the pre-K registration. This year, we're going to be using an online application for the initial rollout here. So this will happen on Thursday. It will be opening up. And we are going to be accepting these applications for non-special education student spots on a tiered first-come, first-served basis. So Manasquan residents will be selected first, and then staff members, children, and then any remaining non-special education spots will be considered for out-of-district applicants. The opening of the application will be made available on Thursday, and we're going to be advertising that through the CoStar, the Manasquan Elementary and School District social media platform, and also be sending out district email and school messenger blast so that we can try and reach all facets of the community. And then lastly, our code of conduct. As part of our review of our Manasquan Elementary code of conduct, we made several minor revisions and clarifications for the current terminology to be in compliance with the state requirements and recommendations.
Jacqueline, thank you. And that code of conduct is out upon your electronic wall.
And then the last piece of this is just an update with our counselors. They are always going in and getting in to the classrooms doing mindfulness lessons. This month they are focusing on, Ms. Mulroy and Ms. Schwer are focusing on the growth mindset. So a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. This is a two-lesson coordinated project where the students took a pre-assessment to kind of figure out where they were on that growth versus fixed mindset scale. And they're doing group work and things of that nature to kind of help build the attitude toward developing that growth mindset in school. And that's the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Now from the Upper Elementary School, Mrs. Minette.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us, as always. It's so nice to share with you all just some of the great things that are going on in our building. Since we met last, we did have our MES winter concert. Our chorus and our band did a beautiful job sharing all that they've learned. Our directors of the chorus, Mrs. Gordon, and our band director, Mr. Clark, always put on a great show. They made sure that the kids were really focusing not only on their musicianship, but also their showmanship, and it was a beautiful night for everyone. We did want to just say that we had the great opportunity to surprise and recognize our Teacher of the Year and our Teacher Professional of the Year, which is always a fun time of year for us. I know we'll talk more about that in a future board meeting, but we were very happy that Jenny Rostrin, our art teacher, and our support professional, Teresa Savage, were this year, and it was still a lot of fun surprising them and embarrassing them a little bit because it's hard for them to be in the spotlight, but they deserve it. We do have ongoing boys and girls basketball going on this winter season. They're having a very good season so far, focusing not only on their skills in basketball, but also on sportsmanship, something really important that we're talking about with all of our coaches and making sure that they're putting their best foot forward, both at home and away. We did just have our MES Geography Day, which was a fantastic event. We were not able to do it last year, so it was very exciting to bring it back. We had three top finishers, so eighth graders, Maeve Korf and Liam Pollock, and our winner was a seventh grader, Liam Fay. And our three top people are going to go and compete with other of our sending district Geography B winners. That's going to be coming up, so we'll keep you posted. Fingers crossed our Manasquan kids come out on top of the Geography B. It was a lot of fun to watch. We were able to, with the help of Mr. Place and the tech department, we were able to stream it live on our YouTube channel so that if anybody was not able to attend, they were able to watch it. And a lot of our classes, kids watched it throughout the building, and it was a lot of fun for everybody. So that was a great event. We do have some great upcoming professional development. As Ms. Paleo mentioned, we are continuing with our iReady Math professional development for our fifth and sixth grade teachers. This is year two, and for our seventh and eighth grade teachers, this is year one of their professional development. We will be, again, doing that mid-year diagnostic assessment, comparing the students' progress from the beginning of the year, and then using that information to inform our instruction. And we do also have upcoming the second session of our sheltered instruction workshop, which is, as you know, a part of the transformation of our ESL program. They will have their second session with our trainer, who's doing a great job of providing them with some concrete skills and strategies for providing extra support for our English language learners in the classroom. It was my intention this evening to be presenting to you our district ESL three-year plan. The state has made some changes to the reporting based upon the fact that, like, the testing data has looked differently in the last few years. And so as questions are being answered, I'm preparing the sections of that report. They did extend the deadline to February, so I will be presenting all of you with the ESL three-year plan in the February board meeting instead of this evening.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now from our high school.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. Following up presentations tonight, celebrating what our students accomplished. Real pleased to speak on behalf of our Madison High School wrestling team. Teams have come a long way in a short period of time, and the steps that they have taken, leaps and bounds, to be successful, it has been incredible. I took Dr. Cajun to the last match, and we, with the progress of the team under the leadership of Justin Borowski, is just incredible. So recently, for the first time in a long time, if ever, they were champions of the Buck Classic Wrestling Tournament at Red Bank High School. About 20 teams that participated, and we had an overall championship. Really encourage everyone in the community to come out and watch wrestling at Madison High School. They have a big match tomorrow, 6 p.m. Freehold Borough, and seems to be the place to be. So come out and support the boys and Coach Borowski. Mrs. Mulroy and Mrs. Kenny, number 16, arranged for many of our students from our ESL population who may or may not have intended to go on to college once they graduate, take a trip, a college visit to Brookdale Community College. And it was a very successful trip. The students were exposed to the college application process, financial aid, certain programs that they run there, and kids were absolutely thrilled that they were given this opportunity. And I really want to commend Mrs. Mulroy and Mrs. Kenny for putting this together for our students. And the feedback was tremendous from the class. So well done by our guidance department. Next week, we have midterm exams at the high school. So each student takes 8 classes here. So we have 8 sections of exam scheduled for them. Half-day schedule, take 2 exams a day, depending on the schedule, the letter, schedule was mailed out to parents and students last week, and it's posted to the website. And finally, the high school also did a review, make sure that our code of conduct was aligned, and it's all completed for your review tonight to be approved. Each month, I've been talking about some courses that we're putting in for a course of study to meet the needs of our students. In our special education program for our CLI and ABA students, we are creating a half-year elective course for them, Science in the Kitchen. The description is right there. And it's really how the food gets to our table. The whole process of learning how and where we get our food from, how it's processed, and how it gets to be available to cook. There's part of the curriculum that, you know, they'll be doing some cooking and then some nutritional components. So it's a great class that they're developing. And in addition, we got a lot of feedback that many of our non-college bound and special education students struggle with our high school students to graduate, so we're developing a conversational Spanish course that will meet their needs and keep them on track if they go on to vocational school, post-high school, or into the workforce. And that's the high school report.
Any questions at all? Awesome. Thank you. Now reports from the Director of School Counseling Services, our Interim Director of Special Services, and our Director of Curriculum and Counseling. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Hello.
Good evening.
Our Director of Curriculum and Instruction. Hello.
Thank you, Dr. Cady. First slide I just wanted to bring your attention to is, as Ms. Paleo mentioned, about our iReady diagnostics and our new ReadyMath curriculum over at the elementary school. As we prepare to analyze the diagnostic results of the second diagnostic, one of the components of professional development that we've talked about over the last couple of years not only focuses on teachers, but also focuses on administrators. So I just wanted to make the board aware that on February 16th, Ms. Minetta, Ms. Paleo, Mr. Muir, and myself will be going through a professional development webinar, again on February 16th, to talk to other administrators throughout the state, throughout the country, and also our iReady representatives. We can get some guidance as to how to structure a leadership opportunity for our teachers to talk about student achievement. So while the PD is robust for teachers, it's also there for administrators. As we are learning how to best use the data from iReady and ReadyMath. This will help us in our PLC to really have an interesting conversation. So that's the other thing I want to address before I get to the Start Strong results, a couple things that were made available to the board. So one was a revised district development plan. And the reason that we do that and revise that was we felt that as we got to late fall and we were able to secure, again, very powerful professional development in the form of sheltered instruction for our staff on both sides of the street. We wanted that to be reflected in the PD plan. So the PD plan that you have is reflective of what we're doing in alignment with the district goals. And I just wanted to make you aware of the other thing that was in the report was a revision of 9 core science courses to become updated with a new generation of science standards. Manasquan, along with every other district in the state, is a heavy lift over the next 2 years. We have 7 areas where we need to update curriculum. Everything from visual performing arts, physical education, science, world language, social studies, technology. So we began that process last year. So we're in the process. We're actually at a very good spot right now. But we also have this opportunity under Mr. Muir's leadership to enhanced our curriculum to the highest level. So all of that is going to September of this year. So we're well on our way to the business, but just wanted to make you aware of that. So in terms of the Start Strong results, go to the next slide, please. So Start Strong was put into place this year, and as we talked a little bit about the assessment, basically, in order for us to meet federal guidelines, we needed to have an assessment. This assessment actually took the place of the NJSLA back in 2021. So just in terms of an overview of the program, again, this replaced the federal requirement for the statewide assessment. The test was administered over a shorter period of time as compared to the NJSLA, anywhere from 40 to 60 minutes. What we were told back in the summer when this was being formulated was that we would have student results back a lot more quickly than we have in the past. We didn't get them back quite as quickly as they said, but we did get them toward the end of November and the beginning of December. And so this test was basically meant to measure where students are based on the standards of the grade that they previously took. So the next slide will kind of show that. So based on a subset of prioritized prior year academic standards provided data for the level of support, students need to engage in grade level content. So for example, the grade 5 ELA Play Start Strong assessment is aligned to the subset of the NJSLS 4 grade 4 ELS. So the questions came from a high quality item from the NJSLA item bank, and again, the questions were aligned with specific breakdown by grade level and by subject area, so that's which students were tested and the content that they were tested on. So you can see in ELA, grades 4 to 10 were tested, mathematics, grades 4 to 8, and then algebra 1, geometry, and algebra 2, and then science, grade 6, grade 9, and grade 12 were tested. The only difference in science is the content of the assessment actually referred back to specific grade bands, grade ranges, instead of specific grade levels. So one of the things that we were told as we walked into this in terms of how to interpret these scores was that there was a specific data point that Start Strong was going to give us. And these were some of the considerations that we were charged with in interpreting. One was a district level curriculum and revisiting prerequisite concepts and skills. So this was an opportunity for us to look at specific standards where students had strengths during COVID and virtual learning, and maybe places that they needed more support. What that led to is to our teachers and our administrators being able to evaluate scope and sequence. In other words, if there were concepts that they had to go back and that they have to go back and reteach, or if there are specific, in the case of science, labs that they need to redo, this will provide information for them to make those adjustments. And using the ISR's individual score reports, which are available to parents in the parent portal, this can also lead to conversations where parents can see specific strengths and weaknesses that their child might have in specific subject areas. Some other considerations, we have to consider the impacts of COVID and what that meant, obviously to the learning, how much time results should be compared to any other individual school or testing. You know, they basically, we're doing this in isolation in the way that we're looking at this data in terms of what we need to do to move forward. And Start Strong assessments are not used to design or to predict future student performance on upcoming state assessments. So what you see here is the number of students that are tested at each grade level. ELA using pie charts in math and science, and the numbers that were tested. We had a total of 742 students tested in pie charts, 857 in math, and 506. The first area that we looked at was our English language arts through the different grade levels. So there's basically three categories where students would fall. That would be more support needed, some support needed, and less support needed. So students that that fell more support needed, those are the students that we need more remediation, more enrichment, and more reteaching. So you can see by grade level where so one of the areas that you can see with our fourth grade students, these are students that have never been through standardized tests before. So this is in process for them. This is a new level of testing for them. And another area that we took a look at was our ninth grade, our incoming freshmen, students that go through that transition we've talked about over the years. Obviously their percentage for more support needed was much higher too. But overall, the numbers were pretty consistent. Those students that needed some support or less support ranged anywhere at these different grade levels from about 76% to 87%. What we see in mathematics, again, going from grades 4 to 8, then algebra 1 and geometry. Here. very well and progressed very well through the program. Some of the numbers in Algebra 1, taking a look at those numbers, the 49% of students that need more support, coming from a lot of different pathways into that area. So that's also a number that we're looking at, and that's also a topic that we're going to discuss in our professional learning community. The next slide is science. Students performed pretty even throughout. We did see, taking a look at some of the data, and when we looked at some of the item analysis, we did see some areas that we need to address. But one of the keys here is, speaking to administrators in other districts, and just anecdotally, one of the areas that was affected more than any during virtual instruction in COVID was science, all levels of science. And the primary reason for that, based on the feedback that we got, was the lack of availability of science. Now that we're moving back to live labs in the classroom, that enhances the level of instruction, the level of inquiry for students. Comprehensive district percentages, and under that you see our students with IEPs, 504s, our ELLs that have exited the ELL program, and the economic disadvantaged students. And again, that's through English. Science, again, 38, 43, and 19% from more support needed to less support level. And again, these are our numbers for our subjects. So what are we going to do with this data, and how are we going to move forward? Well, a couple things. The first piece is one of the things that we have to consider as we go through this is that we're going to not in isolation, but also with our already data, our running records, and current year grades as a means to assess our individual students. That's one of the things our counselors and our teachers are doing. Our ELLs, our English language learners who have exited the ESL program, showed significant improvement in English language arts, math, and science. And that's really a testament to the areas that we're looking to focus on in improving our ELL program. After grade 4, student performance in ELL was consistent with the majority of students being identified as needing less support. And also our fourth grade students, again, had no experience with state testing. Students with 504 plans performed consistent with district averages. And there are some subgroups that have small sample size which will affect grade level scores in some areas. Going forward, again, how we're going to use this data. So we have a couple different things. We're going to use the data, out of this data, to based on specific questions. So a science teacher can look and see areas of strength, how many percentage of his or her students did well in multiplication and division as opposed to how they did with fractions. So what we're going to be able to do is, in addition to looking at individual score reports, teachers are going to have time at grade level and department meeting to look at the data as to where specific strengths and weaknesses are as a group and in the content area. We think we'll get a lot of good information. We also improved the ReadyMath program, and I readied my PATH function, which again is personalized instruction, to provide individualized remediation for our students in grade 4 and 8. We're also looking at the concepts highlighted by professional development seminar provided by Learning Science. So best practices for students is very powerful. Last year, we spent some time as a district going through virtual professional development and learning sciences. Focus is there with student teams. Now that we're back in a more traditional setting, and obviously we're not in a virtual setting, teachers are able to group students based on abilities and based on academic strengths and areas of improvement, and that allows service well also. And the last thing is we want to continue to extend our summer learning opportunities as we did last year at the elementary school and the high school. And we'll have more information about that as we enter the school. Finally, we want to address some of the advances that we need to do and some of the areas that we need to work on in terms of programs. We have the adoption of our new K-8 science series, which is aligned to next generation science standards, which is rich and differentiated instructional strategies and resources. That's the Pearson or Solace program that we'll be prepared to present to you as we get into the spring. We want to continue providing class lab opportunities for students and move away from virtual labs. And we're also going to reassess placement for some of our students in our LLB science classes. So these are things that we're going to discuss moving forward. And that's the report. So I know it's a lot of information. Again, as we got more information about this test, what we were told is you can't really compare it to anything. It's a standalone test. So the context that we put it in really gets back to what we want to do moving forward for our students. The advantage of the Start Strong test is it's a snapshot of students that we have in front of us this year. It's not a test from a previous year where students move on and these teachers don't have them in class. So it's live information that we think is going to be valuable for us moving forward and moving our programs and our students forward. Thank you.
We had quite a large investment with learning sciences. Are you anticipating bringing them back for any other professional development?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, as we talked about last year, the main focus again was about student teams in the virtual environment and some of the considerations we had when we were in the building. We had the team differently, so that's something that we can go back to and revisit for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to find out how the teachers received that, because I remember the teaming book and I was really impressed with that. Mm-hmm. And I know we had the seminars that we had, the online seminars that we had, that whole day that we dedicated to learning sciences. So, I'm interested in that. Okay. And you mentioned the science curriculum. You'll be coming back to us in the spring with that. So that science curriculum is not in this year's budget.
I think it's being presented in the spring to be implemented in the fall of 2022, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
So it is in this year's budget?
It would be. This year's meaning the budget I'm building right now for next year.
Okay, is there any way that you can present that earlier than the spring so we can see it?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's something that we'd be ready to do, again, February and March.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Possibly March.
Sure. Yeah, so this will be in the 22-23 budget.
Okay. Our director of school counseling service, Ms. Kent.
Job description for some of the the daily task. And I think we don't believe that the nurses have really had, you know, a very eventful couple of years for our students so incredibly well over this time period. So that is the updates to the school nursing services plan. Additionally, you know, to kind of go off of what Mr. Coppola said, we are finalizing the amount of assessments for our senior class. So if you remember, I talked about previously, portfolio assessment is a compilation of tasks that students will complete for seniors who have not yet passed a graduation requirement. Reason being, not necessarily because they were not, you know, capable or academically able to pass, but because really a lot of those tests that they use for graduation assessments weren't offered to the students over the last few years with COVID. We did not have NJSLA, SAT tests were hard to, you know, it's hard to come by at some point. PSAT, so there's a certain level of testing that the students were not able to do. Originally, our list was about 60 students who we were concerned that we need to do the portfolio. Over the last couple of months in issuing ASVAB tests, we had students meet the conditions. We narrowed that number down to 39. So over the course of the next couple of months, those students will be completing with the science supervisor, with the teaching supervisor, the portfolio assessment that we then take to the state, and the state will then have to do it for an official graduation. So we have a plan in place for that. Additionally, we have scheduling beginning for next year. You know, at the end of the second marking period, which is coming next week, we have opened the portal for students, for teachers to put in student recommendations, for course recommendations. And we think it's really important that we waited until the end of the second marking period to get a true snapshot of where the students are in terms of the ability and the coursework that they're doing. So having completed the half year of class, these students will be able to you know, pick classes based on their interests, you know, their abilities, and also from teacher recommendations. Our freshman council will be going out to seven different schools, as well as Madison Elementary School, to have one-on-one meetings with the students and to present the scheduling process so that families are aware. And we are going to be starting the scheduling process with the current students beginning in February. Additionally, Mrs. Olympio and I have been working on an update to our district crisis plan and our district threat assessment plan. We wanted to kind of take all the information that we've had in the district over the years, relook at it, revisit it, you know, take some information that we've received, you know, from incidents that have happened, you know, recently, and kind of make sure that we all have the important data that we know. So we have put together a new formalized crisis plan and a new formalized threat assessment plan that we're going to be reviewing as administrative and then it will land on the desk for some approval. And additionally, basically moving forward, we are with the TLC, the Traumatic Loss Coalition. So in the event of a crisis, in the event of a threat assessment, the TLC comes in really to help support the staff members, the students, the community in the event that there is a crisis. That is really, you know, the most important step for us in making sure that we have a cumulative plan. So we are looking at potentially putting some trainings together, whether or not it's with our school specifically, or whether or not we are able to reach out to the sending districts and have support teams trained with the TLC as well, so that in the event of a situation that encompasses multiple communities, we're all on the same page.
Thank you. Now our interim director of special services, Mrs. Suzanne.
Thank you. So I will be working, you know, closely based on the data that was presented regarding the Start Strong to look at the special education scores to see any areas where we could really improve, focus on some areas of strength and some focus on some areas where we're seeing achievement gaps. One of the areas of focus is going to be really improving our inclusive practices. The research really has showed that as much as possible that our students do better when they're in the general education setting as much as possible, being exposed to the general education curriculum. So as we're looking at scheduling and planning for next year, our focus is really going to be putting our students in the least restrictive environment. We have started the process of working with our sending districts and meeting with them and taking a look at the students that are coming up and really trying to plan for them to be in the best and strongest academic program as possible. Another area of focus when I came on, when Dr. Cajun brought me on as your interim director, was really to increase our parent involvement. So we have developed our special education parent advisory committee. We had our first meeting. We had about 14 parents and 9 staff and administrators to really frame out what that's going to look like. It really is going to be a parent-led group with collaboration from the district. It's a really important aspect of what we do in special education is to partner with the parents. From that, we've developed like an executive committee of parents who I'll be meeting with on a monthly basis. We'll be getting together next month to really take a look at our mission and our goals for the remainder of the year. Another area of focus, the building principal, Ron Duvall, and I have connected with the Unified Olympics representatives, and we're going to write a grant this spring to get that started. We're going to start with unified recreational activities and clubs with the idea of, in the fall, writing a full grant for some unified sports, which is really our general education and our special education students engaging in sporting activities such as soccer, it could be surfing, and competing with neighboring districts.
Any questions about that? I think that's awesome. I want to compliment you for doing that, and especially the piece about the parent involvement. And what's the total number of parents on your committee?
So the broader committee, we have 14 parents, and then there's an executive committee that will really be meeting monthly, and we have 6 parents on that committee.
Thank you. More questions? Thank you. That concludes our reports.
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone from the public like to be heard on agenda items?
Blanchard Parkway, West Allenhurst. I have a sheriff statement that I'm going to read regarding the proposed change. We, Massquan Education Association, once again want to express our strong opinion about the updating of the staff dress code, District Policy 3216. In consideration of the district's goal to be an inclusive school community, fun finds it appropriate that we similarly have an inclusive workplace. As such, we feel it is imperative that the gender-specific articles of clothing be made gender-neutral. For example, a blouse is typically associated with women's attire. We also feel that language specifying how clothes are styled, such as tucking in a dress shirt, is considered gender profiling. As stated at last month's meeting, we are continually recognized and pleased for our dedication to educating children in our community and for the outstanding professionalism that we demonstrate daily. We again hope that the Manasquan Board of Education trusts our faculty members' professional judgment with regards to appropriate professional attire. We hope that you consider adjusting the proposed policy that is included in tonight's talk. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess everybody can hear.
That's all right, you can hear me. Yeah. Matt Koenig, 57 Curtis Avenue in Manasquan. Just want to thank the board for kind of hearing me out here. I know last meeting we talked a little bit about the test to stay policy and some of the concerns that were brought up in terms of, you know, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated and so forth. But I just wanted to start off by reading the mission statement, really, of the Board of Education. I know you're all familiar with it. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich traditions, through partnership with our community. So, in an effort to partner with my Board of Education, I'm here to tell you, if you adopt the way that that's currently written, that we're going to separate out how we treat a vaccinated person versus unvaccinated, you're failing to adhere to your own mission statement. You are not being inclusive. Just like there's a whole pile of teachers here to tell you whether they should wear a tie or not, the same thing applies here to the students in terms of testing, in terms of committing to stay. My recommendation is if you're going to test somebody that's vaccinated or unvaccinated should be the same across the board. Thank you.
Moving on to our next public forum, would anyone like to be heard from the public on items that are not on the agenda?
Regarding education, curriculum, and technology, I want to compliment the principals tonight for focusing on best practice. You heard about our diagnostic data for those who are iReady. Our pre-K registration is going to be online this year. I think that's admirable. We're having discussions about our pre-K registration tomorrow. The winter concert really was well. Our geography B was taken off, so things are back to normal. Normalcy is very important. Our mid-year diagnostic, as well as our mid-year exams, will be happening. The Board of Education has received the 2021-2022 school calendar, which is revised, as well as the 2022-2023 school calendar. We received both of those. Regarding our policies, you've received the draft policy of 3216, dress and grooming. You've also received the Road Forward COVID-19 Health and Safety Policy. First reading for the dress and groom, second reading for the Road Forward. Does anybody have any questions on either one of those policies? Okay. Regarding finance, we have a budget update.
Yep. Thanks, Dr. Cajun. Have in meetings past, I'll continue to do, give you an update monthly on what the budget development status is. We have now received all our requests from our department heads for, you know, essentially their wish list for next year, what they'd like to see in their budgets. We'd also now received, new since our last meeting, all the enrollment projections from our sending districts, as well as we've done an analysis of our own enrollment in district here for our elementary school students. So just one item I do want to bring to everyone's attention here is that, as we expected, we are seeing an enrollment decline from the projections and indicate there's going to be an enrollment decline from this year to last. Specifically, at budget time last year, we were budgeting for 999.5 students in the high school. This year, we're budgeting for 939.5 students in the high school, so a reduction of 60 students. That number still is a moving target. There's a couple kids who may wind up going who have said they're going to go to vocational schools or private schools, wind up coming to Manasquan, and vice versa, who have said they're coming to Manasquan and eventually wind up going to vocational and private schools. So there is one additional round of sending district adjustments that can be made to that at the end of January, at which point it'll be finalized. But typically, at least in my experience here, that you don't see huge swings in that number from this point of the process. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that, and that'll definitely continue to be a factor in consideration in our budgeting process. Any questions about where we're at right now? So just, now we're in the process of putting the revenues and expenses together, getting them to match, going over everyone's budget requests, seeing what's gonna be in, what's not gonna be in. We'll meet with department heads throughout the next month before our next meeting, and I'll give you an update then.
Buildings and grounds, facilities?
I do have a couple slides for building grounds and facilities. Those of you who have been around the campus lately, especially today, have seen a little bit of action across the street. So just to highlight two projects that are going on over there, both of which are near and dear to my heart, are the installation of a new ADA compliant swing. So this is going to allow some of our physically handicapped students, as well as any student who might be interested, to swing and have an inclusive experience while they're on the playground. Part of that is that walkway there on the left side of the left picture. You see a framed out walkway that the cement was poured today. So if you saw the cement truck out on Broad Street today, that was here to pour the cement down that trough that you see dug on the left side there. Also out in that playground, Jess, if you go to the next slide. And if you trip down Broad Street, you've probably seen we have removed the old 6-foot kind of rusty galvanized chain link fence that was there. With me is a little more aesthetically pleasing semi-private PVC 4-foot fence that lends itself a little more, at least visually, to a pre-kindergarten playground barrier.
Is that a kindergarten door?
That's a big pre-K kindergarten door right over here. Yeah, okay. Right on Broad Street. So that, unfortunately, both of these projects kind of fell victim to the supply chain issues that Joe hinted at before, and that's why it's been ongoing now for a little longer than we would have hoped. They both broke ground a little bit before the swing broke ground around teachers convention, that the fence broke ground a little bit before Christmas break, but they are coming to an end probably this week here, and the kids are going to enjoy the new facility. That's it for me, Dr. Cajun.
Well, thank you. Can I move right to my superintendent?
Yes.
Thank you. Enrollment, total enrollment, 1,504. High school, 987. Elementary school, 517. Regarding fire drill reports and bus evacuation reports, the high school, December 8th, we had a fire drill. December 9th, we had tests of the emergency notification system. Regarding the ABA and CLI building, on December 8th, we had a fire drill. On December 9th, we had tests of the emergency notification system. At the elementary school, on December 3rd, we had an active shooter. On December 8th, we had a fire drill. We've met the requirements in 18A regarding fire and safety drills in both our schools, as well as our new ABA CLI building. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying this month, in the high school, as a revision of the December 2021 case report number 4, we had one incident which was not harassment, intimidation, and bullying. In the elementary school, they have no report for the month. Now, following and adhering to the state statute for 18A, I have the report for the New Jersey Department of Education School Self-Assessment Report, as well as the Student Safety Data System Report for 2021, 2020, and 2021. The Commission Commissioner of New Jersey Department of Education is required by state law to grade each public school and school district's efforts to implement the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act, New Jersey Code 18A-17-46. This guidance document has been developed to help the school safety school climate team fulfill its responsibility to complete the school self-assessment for determining grades under the ABR self-assessment, and to help the chief school administrator, or CSA, or charter school lead person, and Renaissance project lead person fulfill their required responsibilities. School safety teams for each of the schools in Manasquan School District completed the New Jersey Department of Education self-assessment for determining grades under the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. The results of this self-assessment were based on data and practices established since the implementation of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act in September 2011-2012. Each school safety team rated the 26 self-assessment indicators on a scale of 0 to 3. 0 does not meet requirements, 1 partially meets requirements, 2 meets all requirements, 3 exceeds the requirements. The highest possible final score is 78. At Manasquan Elementary School, they received all 3s except in 2 categories where they received a 2 for a 76. At Manasquan High School, they received 3s exceeding the requirements in all categories, all 26, totaling a 78. Regarding a summary of our 2020-21 school year regarding incidents of violence, vandalism, substance, weapons, and HIV confirmed, in Manasquan High School, there were 5. Other incidents leading to removal, 4. HIV alleged, 2. HIV trainings, 5. HIV programs, none. Regarding Manasquan Elementary School in 2021, regarding incidents for violence, vandalism, substance, weapons, and HIV confirmed, none. Other incidents leading to removal, none. HIV alleged, 3. HIV trainings, 2. HIV programs, 2. The Manasquan School District has met the statute requirements for the HIV New Jersey Department of Education School Self-Assessment and Data System Report. The board received the Manasquan Elementary School and Manasquan High School codes of conducts for their review. And after the presentations of the principals, there were no questions for those. That also meets the statute requirements that we have. Now, a report from our assistant superintendent, Mr. Place.
Thank you, Dr. Cation. I'll just mention two technology items briefly this evening. One is regarding our kind of ongoing effort to modernize some of the processes in a school district. You know, sometimes it's easy to walk into a school district and think, you know, maybe only we're a little ahead of the DMV with certain things and stuff like that. So trying to reduce those pain points where either internally things could be more efficient or externally where parents or community members are interacting with us have been some of our priorities. So to that end, one of the areas identified for improvement, and this was working with Mrs. Kenny and the counseling staff, was in new student registration. So, you know, currently there's kind of like a registration packet you have to, you know, download or print out online. You kind of bring it to the guidance office with all different forms of, you know, identification and proof of residence, things like that. So one of the things we're going to be implementing very shortly in the next couple of weeks, and then hopefully piloting with the kindergarten registration, is an online registration process. So what that will do is allow, for example, in the pilot, parents of kindergartners starting next year to be able to do most of that work online, fill out their demographic information, you know, put in all the basics, upload documents that, you know, they might have to bring in before to initiate that process. This is not to say, and then by the way, you know, same thing for any like incoming high school students, you know, for next year. This is certainly not meant to remove the personal part of the process. You know, we wouldn't want to replace like coming in to meet with a guidance counselor, for example, particularly at the middle school or the high school level, you know, to do those parts. It's really meant to just reduce that paperwork burden on both the parents trying to like remember what they have to bring, what forms when they come to the school, and also the staff to be able to more efficiently just kind of grab a registration that was done online and turn it right into a student record in our student information system. So that's something that's coming up. The other item I'll just mention briefly as well is, if you remember, in the fall of 2020, we revamped our public website to be kind of a new template, new design, responsive on mobile devices, things like that. One of the things we've kind of struggled with that over the years has been like the concept of a teacher homepage, right? Which, you know, was kind of big like 10, 15, 20 years ago. Probably not as relevant now that we do more stuff in learning management systems like Canvas, Teams, things like that. With that, right, as teacher homepages were kind of phased out, and we're still phasing some of them out, what to replace that with so that parents still have a good way to get in touch with school staff is we're looking at revamping our staff directory online. So it's kind of an interactive search platform. You can pretty easily just pull up, you know, based on name or assignment or job title, you know, who the staff members are, what their email address is, what their phone number, voicemail number is, and possibly even having like a little biographical tree that the staff member creates for them. So that's also on the table in the next coming month or so. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
You're up.
That concludes the superintendent's report for this evening.
Can we have a motion to recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report?
Yes.
Mr. Catani, Mr. Serino.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan general items, number 16 through 22? Can I have a motion for the approval of the general items, number 16 to 22? Danny.
Yes.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Serino.
Got it. Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Martin?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. I'm crossing out. Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan Sending District's general items, numbers 23 through 43? Okay, can I have a motion for the Manasquan Sending District general items? Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Mrs. Bissone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Martin? Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Catani?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes. Thank you,
Martin. Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone have any old or new business to address? Is there a motion to go into executive session?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nicely done.
Can we have a motion to reconvene the regular meeting?
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Who was the first? I'm sorry.
Mrs. Bisson.
Mr. Balderman? Mrs. Bisson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter? Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo? Mr. Pellegrino?
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
We have a quorum. We have a motion for the Manasquan personnel items, number 47.
Yes.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Catani. Mrs. Passau.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Carrie. We have a motion for the Manasquan Sending District's personnel, number 48. Mr. Vitale, Ms. Herbert, Mrs. Passau?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie? We have one more motion on the Manasquan Sending District's items, number 49 and 50. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Serino, Mrs. Passau?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie? We have a motion to adjourn. Mr. Catani, Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye. Coming on strong.
Thanks, Marty.
Oh, good job, Marty.
No problem. Have a good night.